Last Sunday, we celebrated the ascension of Christ, Jesus ascending to his throne in heaven. And today we celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost comes from the Greek word meaning 50th, 50 days after the resurrection, after Resurrection Sunday in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out on all believers. Through the Spirit, the New Testament church is born. 2 Corinthians 12:13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. As we trust in Jesus and turn to him in faith, we are baptized, dipped, drenched in the Holy Spirit. We drink and we are filled with the Spirit of God. And as the Holy Spirit fills God's people, he brings them together to form one body, not just any body, but it is the body of Christ. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. So at ascension, Jesus with his physical glorified body goes up into heaven. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven, filling Jesus' followers, turning us into the physical body of Jesus here on earth. Together we, the church, are the hands and feet and mouth of Christ. We are empowered and gifted by the Holy Spirit to continue Jesus' mission, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and bringing that kingdom here on earth. This morning I woke up very early, and the first thing I did when I woke up was come over here and turn the heaters on. But as I woke, I had the 1980s Keith Green song in my head, "There is a Redeemer." I know a lot of you know it, and the chorus, "Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done." This is what the Spirit does. He makes us the body of Christ to do the mission of Christ. As Anglicans, we say it every week in the greeting of peace. We are the body of Christ. Thank you. Perhaps we don't always consider the significance of these words, but it's a truly profound statement. We are the body of Christ. This is what Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12. And he has two main points about the body. Point number one, the body of Christ is diverse. Verse 14, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. There are many parts to Christ's body, and there is great diversity among these parts. Each part is different. Verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Paul has us imagine, what if the whole body were just an eye? What if the whole body was just an ear? Would that be a healthy body? Of course not. It would have no sense of hearing. It would have no sense of smell. A healthy church is a collection of diverse members. Verse 13, there is diversity in people. Jews and Gentiles come together in the church. We have slaves and free people come together in church. This is what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. It brings people of all kinds together as Christ's body, different cultures, different languages, different educations, different incomes, different ages, different interests, married and singles, kids and no kids. Diversity. Recently, the cultural diversity in our church has grown. What a great sign. This diversity is healthy. It brings me great joy, and may we see more of it. However, in some ways, we lack diversity. We are an aging church, I'm sorry to say. We lack young people. We want more young people. this is something that we should be praying about. So in verse 13, we see that there is diversity in people. But verse 28, we see also that there is diversity in spiritual gifts. There are apostles, prophets, and teachers in the body. There are those with other spiritual gifts like healing, helping, and guidance. Verse 29, not everyone is a prophet or a teacher. Not everyone heals or speaks in tongues. Every member of the church has different gifts for service. There's about 40 people here this morning, give or take. Imagine if our church was made up of 40 Matt Smiths. Everyone would want to preach. No one would know how to set up morning tea. And the singing would be out of time and out of tune. Thank God we don't have 40 Matt Smiths here. Probably one of me is enough. Remember last week, all of us have different spiritual gifts, different ways we can serve and build up the church. And when we put these spiritual gifts together, we become a healthy and functional church and body of Christ. That being said, just as I love to see more cultural and generational diversity in our church, I also want to see more diversity in our gifts. It'd be great if we had more members with musical and singing gifts. It would be great if we had more members with gifts of evangelism and social outreach. Again, this is another prayer point for us as we continue to grow. Friends, the body of Christ is made up of many diverse members. This means whoever you are, wherever you are from, whatever your gifts are, you belong here. You are welcome here. You are part of us. If an African or an Asian family walks into our church next week, if a group of unmarried and noisy young adults were to enter, if some older pub musicians who were musically gifted came along, if a homeless woman who had mental illness joined in, I pray that all of us would welcome them and love them. I pray that their diversity may be accepted and celebrated. I pray that they may feel that this church can be their home and that they belong. Because they do. Consider Paul's logic in verses 15 and 16. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, or if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. The temptation for church members is to say, I don't really belong here. I don't really fit in. I can't preach like Matt. I can't play the organ like Wendy. I can't pray publicly like David. I don't know the Bible as well as everyone else, and I'm relatively new to the church. I'm so different to all these other church members, and so I'm not important. I'm not valuable. I don't belong here. But friends, that is a lie from hell. You do belong. Consider verse 18. Consider these words. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. According to God's perfect plan, He has placed you here. You are a vital part of this diverse body, this church, according to the divine sovereign will. And that is great news. In fact, Paul goes even further from verse 22. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we in fact treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. Churches can make the mistake of valuing some members, one group of members, over another group of members. Some churches honour their musicians, Other churches will honor the pastor or priest. And yet other churches may honor those who speak in tongues, and still other churches may honor their wealthy members who are most generous. But Paul is saying the members of the church who seem less vital, less important, less gifted, they're the indispensable members. They're the ones we should be honoring. Not just because I'm the one up the front doing all the talking. It doesn't make me more important, more valuable, more honorable, more special. No, you are vital. You are essential. You are indispensable. This church would not be the same without you. This church is diminished when you are not here. So point one, the body of Christ is diverse. There are many parts. And point two, the body of Christ is united. There is one body. Just as we worship a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in triunity, so as the many members come together, they come together in unity. Verse 24, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. In the body of Christ, there should be unity, closeness, intimacy. When one church member suffers, the rest of us should know and care and to pray for that member and do what we can to support them. But yet when another church member receives good news, that good news should spread to the rest of the church so that we can celebrate with them. Now, this is why I want you to come to church each week. And this is why I want you to hang around for morning tea after the service. This is why I had so much joy at the movie night last night, seeing so many church members hanging out and having fun and getting to know each other. It's for the sake of unity, so that we're connected, so that we know each other and we know what's happening in one another's lives. Unity means that each part, each member of the body is dependent on the other members. So verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I'm hearing of many Christians who are not connected with a church. Now, Christians can be tempted to think this way, to think, I don't need the church. But that's wrong. We do. They do. Take me, for example. As most of you know, my father is a pastor. So I've grown up my whole life in the church. I've read the Bible. I've studied the Bible. I know it well. I went to theological college for 4 years. I got my Master of Divinity. With all this experience, with all this study, with all this knowledge, on Sunday mornings as I wake up, I can be tempted to think, I'm not actually going to learn anything at church today, am I? I won't get anything out of our time together. The other members won't really teach me or help me at all. Maybe some of you might be tempted to think this way. I've gone to church my whole life. I've seen it all. I've heard it all. I know it all. What's Matt preaching on today? Oh, the body of Christ, of course. I've probably heard 50 sermons on that by now. You sing the songs, you pray the prayers, you say hi to a few friends, you go home. But nothing has changed. No transformation has taken place when you come to church. We haven't been blessed. We haven't been encouraged. We haven't grown. Now, friends, when we view church with this attitude, when we meet with the church but don't expect to get anything from anyone, it's a sign of pride and arrogance. Like the eye saying to the hand, I don't need you. Like one church member saying to the other members, I don't need you. You can't encourage me or bless me or teach me anything. I don't need you. I don't need the church. In fact, because I don't need the church, I won't come to church. A man broke his left arm. When this happened, his right hand, full of pride and arrogance, starts a conversation with his left hand. Left hand, you are not missed. Everybody's glad it was you that was broken and not me. Let's be honest, you aren't very important. Left hand is stunned. How are you more superior than me? Right hand replies, our owner cannot write a letter without me. Left hand, but who holds the paper when he writes? Right hand, who swings the hammer? Left hand, who holds the nail? Right hand, who guides the plane when the carpenter smooths a board? Left hand, who steadies the board? Right hand, when our owner walks down the street and lifts his hat to greet someone, which hand does he use? Left hand. Ah, but who holds the briefcase while he does it? Left hand, with all his wisdom, now questions the arrogant and proud right hand. Let me ask you a question. When our owner shaved yesterday, you held the razor, but his face is cut because I wasn't there to help. Also, our owner's watch has stopped. Why? You may do the winding, but if I'm not there to hold it, the watch can't get wound. You can't take money out of his wallet to pay something because I'm not there to hold it. Our master can do very few things without me. Friends, so it is with the body of Christ. We are united, and so we depend on each other. We all need each other, and when one of us is absent, the rest of us misses out. Think about it like this. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit is working through us. And so we need you here. Even if you think you won't get anything out of our time together, and even if it's -4 degrees outside, please still come and join with us and bless us and minister to us and to the other church members using your spiritual gifts. We need you. We need the Holy Spirit who lives in you to work through you and to bless the other ones as well. As you know by now, I've been reading over the history of our church. And this quote came from Robert Johnston from his 1990 Vicar's Report, and I thought it was appropriate. Of primary importance is our wholehearted devotion to and worship of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sunday by Sunday and through the week we come together as God's redeemed people to worship him and to build one another up in our most holy faith. As the individual coals on a campfire are black and cold when they fall out of the fire, but glowing and warming and illuminating when within the fire, so it is with Christians and the church. God is our fire, our life, and our usefulness wholly depends on our incorporation into Christ and our closeness to him and to each other. Friends, we are the body of Christ. But let us never forget at what cost we have been brought together. At Calvary, on the cross, Jesus' earthly body is torn apart so that we can be forgiven. Jesus' earthly body is shredded so that we can be brought together as his body to do his work. We have come together at the cost of the life and blood of Jesus and through the gift of the Holy Spirit who has been poured out on us. That is what God wants to do among us. And so that means we belong to Christ, but we also belong to one another. We belong to Christ, but we also belong to each other. Friends, may that be true of us and our church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the gift of your Son, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, but also for the gift of the church and each other. We thank you that we do not have to go through this life on our own, but that you have given us a family, a body to be part of and to be connected to. We thank you for the diversity that we have and that we can learn from each other and minister to each other. And we ask that you help us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to put these things into practice so that even though we are diverse, we can come together in unity and to be built up and to be continuing the mission of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for those who are not among us. We pray for those who are no longer able to meet with us, particularly for health and medical reasons. And we ask that though we are separated physically, we might be joined spiritually and that you might minister to them as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.